for the last 10 years or so, all kinds of Americans have been using that slogan with the word strong in it to bring people together and to help each other through tragedies, like Houston Strong after Hurricane Harvey, or El Paso Strong after the Walmart shooting there, or America Strong with the coronavirus in our country. But the problem is that slogan has gotten so overused that Boston Strong, that came after the bombing of the Boston Marathon, is now the name of a dry roast coffee that's being sold all over New England. And a man-made slogan is never going to give anybody the strength that's really needed to do what really needs to be done to heal all the hurts and fix all the problems, which is bringing people to Christ in these last days, because only God's strength can do that. So we're going to start a series this morning here at Fox River, a series called God Strong, looking at what it really means to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might in these times that we're living in. And in this series, we're going to look at the story of Samson, the strongest man who ever lived, to see how we need to trust God for that strength and how we need to use it so that it's a blessing for all people like God intended. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at the birth of Samson to see where that strength really comes from. And to see that, we turn today to Judges chapter 13 and verses 1 to 25. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. Judges chapter 13, starting at verse 1. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth. And he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, 'O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born.' God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, 'He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day.' Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, 'Are you the one who talked to my wife?' 'I am,' he said. So Manoah asked him, "When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work?' The angel of the Lord answered, 'Your wife must do all I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her.' Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you.' The angel of the Lord replied, 'Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord.' Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true?' He replied, 'Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding.' Then Manoah took a young goat together with the grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. 'We are doomed,' he said to his wife. 'We have seen God.' But his wife answered, 'If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this.' The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol." Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word, and I pray you would teach us this morning, Lord, how strong we really are as believers and followers of you, and how much, Lord, we need to be using that strength Prayed, come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. God chose the nation of Israel, brought them out of slavery in Egypt, gave them the law, put them in the promised land under Joshua, and said, be holy because I am holy. But after Joshua died, everything went south because there was no king in Israel and everybody did what was right in his own eyes. So the Israelites would turn to idols and sin against God. And God would punish them by enslaving them to foreign enemies. But then the Israelites would repent and they would cry out to God. And God would send them a judge to deliver them. But then the Israelites would sin against God all over again. Rinse and repeat for over 300 years in the book of Judges. And the last judge that the Holy Spirit tells us the most about, because he is most like us, is Samson. Because Samson teaches us what it really means to be strong in the Lord even from birth. Our text this morning, Judges chapter 13, verses 1 to 25, tells us three things that give us that real strength from God that we need to deliver our nation just like Samson did. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that gives us that real strength from God, is a special birth, just like Samson had, verses 1 through 3. And boy, did his people ever need it. Because the enemy back at that time was the Philistines, who invaded the west coast of Israel about 50 years after Joshua and the Israelites entered the promised land. And the Philistines built five cities on the coastal plain and started pushing inward. And during Samson's day, the Israelites were fraternizing with the enemy and trading with them and even worshiping their idols and not even crying out to God to be saved. So the Israelites were this close to giving away their nation and their faith in God. And because the Israelites needed a special leader, God gave Samson a special birth to a couple from the tribe of Dan in the little podunk town called Zorah, 14 miles west of the city of Jerusalem, right on the border of enemy Philistine territory. Samson's birth was special because his mother was barren. Not even named in this story. Because back in Israel then, if a woman didn't have a baby, she was considered a nobody. Special because a special messenger, the angel of the Lord, came to the woman and told her that she was going to have a son. And Christians, every single one of us needs to realize we had a special birth too. Now, God probably did not send an angel to our mothers for the gender reveal. My mom is 86 years old today, but even my mom would have remembered something like that if it had really happened. But Psalm chapter 139, verses 14 and 15 says that every single one of us was knit together personally by God in our mother's womb and fearfully and wonderfully made. Special because no other human being ever has or ever will have exactly the same DNA pattern that you have, or exactly the same fingerprints, or exactly the same eye color or hair color. No other human being's feet smell exactly like your feet do. Don't you see how special you are? Doctors say you have 206 bones in your body, while a baby has 300. Because a lot of their bones fuse together after they're born. Because if they were fused together before they were born, they would break during delivery. That's why babies are more flexible than a Chinese acrobat. Gee, do you think God knew what He was doing when He brought you into the world or what? You're special. So listen to me. Even if your parents really didn't want you, even if your mom told you over and over again that you were a mistake that ruined her life, even if you were conceived as the result of a rape, if you are here, no matter how you got here, you were meant to be here because you are a special creation of God. You are special because you are special to Him, even from birth, just like Samson was, and don't you dare let the devil or anybody else tell you different. Special birth. But as special as it is to be born, it's even more special to be born again. Physical birth is a miracle. But being physically born also means that you're born in sin and separated from God and going to hell. Psalm chapter 51, verse 5. So every single one of us needs that spiritual birth too. By confessing our sins and putting your faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross to take those sins away and asking Jesus to come into your heart and to be your Savior. I was physically born February 15, 1963, but I was spiritually born again July 21st, 1984. So that's even the greater miracle. Not just becoming a child, but becoming a child of God. And folks, we've got to realize that's where the real power and the real strength comes from. Last May the 14th, three brothers in Bolivia, ages 8, 10, and 12, found a black widow spider in a cow pasture and kept poking and poking at that thing until it bit all three of them. Purposely wanted it to bite them because they thought that was going to give them superpowers like Spider-Man. Instead, it put all three of them in the hospital for a week and almost killed them. Folks, that real power, that real strength that comes from God only comes from being born again. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. That's the real special birth. And Christians, don't tell me that we weren't born for these times that we're living in. Just like Samson was born for his times. Because Americans today are this close to giving away our nation and our faith in God too. Black activist Sean King is now hell-bent on destroying all white statues of Jesus in America. And why? This is what he said. These white statues are a form of white supremacy and racist propaganda created to be used as tools of oppression. What in the world is he talking about? Folks, everybody knows that Jesus was a dark-skinned Middle Eastern Jew. So what does it matter if the statues are purple with pink polka dots? Tearing down statues isn't going to do one blessed thing to solve racism in America, especially statues of Jesus Christ. Black Lives Matter was founded by a black lesbian teenager named Patrice Cullors, who said this back in 2015. We are trained Marxists and organizers against all forms of constitutional government and Christianity and all religious structures that have done nothing but oppress and enslave people throughout history. So Black Lives Matter is not about racism. It's about Marxism and destroying this country and every trace of Christianity in this country. And yet scads of Christians and pastors and church leaders today are taking a knee in support of it. Folks, Black Lives Matter is a totally godless organization. So why in the world are Christians committing idolatry and bowing down to it? And why aren't more Christians pushing back? Well, only 24% of the people in this country who even call themselves Christians even bother going to church anymore on a Sunday morning. So my guess is they just don't care. People, have we forgotten? Have we totally forgotten how special we really are, even from birth? Back in 2018, doctors at Northwestern University Hospital in Chicago found out just how incredible human birth and human conception really is. They're trying to find a way to determine which human eggs are the most viable for reproduction. So they put some under fluorescent light, under a microscope, and release some sperm. Now, everybody knows conception happens the very nanosecond that the sperm enters the egg and fertilizes it. So when the sperm hits the egg, the sperm releases calcium, which in turn causes the egg to release zinc. And as the zinc flows out and mixes with the calcium, flashes of light start radiating around those eggs. Here's how the video explains it. Incredible. Sparking like the 4th of July. And the brighter the flash, the healthier the egg. At the very moment of creation in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light." And at the very moment of the creation of you and me, God said, "Let there be light too." Absolutely amazing. Flat out miracle of God. And folks, that's not even our birth. That's just our conception. People, do you have any idea how incredibly special you are to God and how much He loves you? So I don't care what the evolutionists or the pro-abortionists say. Conception is not just a biological process or a bodily function. You are not just a mass of tissue or a gob of goo. You are a special creation miracle of God. And God was so tickled when you finally got here, He threw a party complete with fireworks and a laser light show to celebrate your birth. So don't tell me that God is not pro-life, and don't tell me that God doesn't want you to celebrate what a special creation you are by living a really special life for Him in the here and now. The only question is, who's going to do that? The first thing that gives us that real strength from God that we need to deliver our nation is a special birth. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing that gives us that real strength from God. Not only a special birth, but also a special calling. Exactly the same calling that God gives Samson here in verses 4 through 7. And it wasn't to get more Twitter followers than President Trump. Verse 5, the angel of the Lord tells Mom, he will begin to deliver his people from the hands of the Philistines. And to fulfill that calling, Samson would be a Nazarite, which means he would never drink wine or cut his hair or touch a dead body, do nothing to ever make him unclean. Any Israelite could take a Nazarite vow, usually lasted about a month, so that God could use them to do a special job or a special project. Samson, however, was to be a Nazarite his entire life, from womb to tomb. Totally separated from the world, so he could be totally committed to God and fulfill his calling and deliver his people. And Christians, exactly the same way, we're supposed to be totally sold out to God and totally dead to the world so that we can fulfill God's calling in our lives too and deliver our people by turning them from the power of darkness to light and the power of Satan to God. Acts chapter 16, verse 28. Christians, that's our calling too. So every single one of us needs to make a choice. We're either going to fulfill God's calling in our life, or we're going to fulfill the world's calling in our life. And the world's calling means everybody has to be hot and rich and famous. Like Timothy Chalamet, or Jason Momoa, or Kylie Jenner, or Haley Baldwin. You say, but Kevin, not everybody can be hot and rich and famous. That's exactly the point. Less than 1/1,000th of a percent of the world's population are models. So this is a game that you cannot win. So if you don't get your kudos from knowing that you are a special creation of God with a special purpose, then you're going to be constantly trying to get your kudos from other people. And I can tell you right now, it's never going to be enough to keep you from getting depressed and suicidal. Dear Abby, I am 11 years old, but I'm very mature. I like this 11-year-old boy named Josh, but yesterday he called me Chubbs. But I'm only about 5 pounds fatter than my friends. My friends say he called me that because he likes me. But if he likes me, why would he call me a mean name? I want him to like me so much. If he doesn't like me because I'm fat like a whale, I'll kill myself because I can't live without him. What should I do? Your entire life depends on what one 11-year-old boy thinks about you. Most 11-year-old boys don't even change their underwear. There's girls listening to this sermon right now. You are never going to get a life by waiting around for some guy to find you right swipe worthy and hand you a rose. Because your life does not depend on what guys think about you. Your life depends on what God thinks about you and what He says about you in your Word. But there's people listening to this sermon right now. You are so distracted by social media, you can't see that. 7 countries of the world have already banned the like button on Instagram in their countries because gazillions of people are constantly comparing themselves to other people and getting depressed and suicidal. Last June the 2nd, 16-year-old Gavin Natt from Los Angeles, California, posted pictures of himself on Instagram and asked his followers, based only by the way he looked, should he live or die? Based on his look, and because 69% of his followers said die, he killed himself, committed suicide by hanging himself in his parents' garage. Because he does not believe in a God who says your life is worth a whole lot more than just being hot and not getting trolled online. There's somebody listening to this sermon right now, listen to me. You are not here to upgrade your smartphone every year and constantly update your stats and your tats. You are here because God has a special calling for your life. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, okay, Kevin, but what is that exactly? Yeah, we have the same calling that Samson did. We're supposed to get people delivered through Jesus Christ. But what does God specifically want me specifically to do to get people delivered? Well, that's easy. What are you good at? When you got saved, God gave you all kinds of gifts and talents and abilities and things that you are good at that He expects you to use to reach people for Christ. So what you're good at is a part of your calling. Wes and Andrew and Ryan and Pat and Joanne, they're all good at music. So they reach people for Christ through music. Katie Varland is an artist. She can use art to reach people for Christ. If you're a teacher, you use teaching. If you're a farmer, you use farming. Even if you're the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. More importantly than anything else, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Which means you use whatever job you have to fulfill that calling and reach people for Jesus. But Kevin, my dream is, There's a difference between a dream and a calling. Because a dream is just what you want to do. A calling, though, is what you have to do and need to do because God is calling you to do it. Well, can't they be one and the same? Not always. Because when I was growing up, I dreamed about being a farmer and a cowboy and a doctor and a sports writer. But God had other plans. A dream you will quit on when it gets too hard. Your calling, you never quit on, no matter how hard it gets. So let me ask you this morning, how many of you know what that calling is that God has on your life? And how many Christians are we even seeking God to find out what that is? There's Christians listening to this sermon right now. I've got to tell you, from the bottom of my heart, with all the love I can muster, stop playing with your phone and start reading the Word of God. Because you're never going to find your calling in that phone. You're going to find your calling right here in God's Word. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were even born, I called you and set you apart to be a prophet to the nations and a prophet to the people." Christians, that's your calling. But see, with that calling comes the responsibility of fulfilling it. So let me ask you this morning. How many of us Christians are really fulfilling the calling of God in our lives? Or are we just blowing it off because we're too busy and too distracted to even think about it? Are we being those spiritual Nazarites, considering ourselves dead to everything in the world and all its temptations so we can focus on fulfilling God's call? Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl winning quarterback Patrick Mahomes talks openly about being a Christian and his Christian faith. Even speaks at FCA events. And yet right now, Patrick Mahomes is shacked up with his girlfriend, Brittany Matthews. Something that God's Word clearly says is wrong. There's an old word for it called fornication, if anybody even remembers it from Scripture. So how can Patrick Mahomes say that he's a Christian and be witnessing to people and still think that's okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Are we walking worthy according to the calling that we have received? You fulfill your calling no matter what the opposition is. Pop singer Keith Urban had teachers when he was in high school who flunked him in music class. He flunked music, but look where he is now. Oral Hershiser was not even good enough to make his high school and college baseball team. And yet he still played 18 years in the major leagues, pitched in 3 World Series, and won a Cy Young Award. That's a calling. And don't you dare tell me that you're too old to fulfill the calling of God in your life. At age 86, Betty Gebhardt is now the oldest trapeze artist in the entire world. And she didn't even start taking lessons until she was 78. And she is fulfilling God's call in her life because she's using all the trapeze routines everywhere she performs to reach out to people and end up telling them about Jesus Christ. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, hold on to the vision, for the vision awaits its time. So how many Christians listen to this sermon right now? You understand what your calling is and you're doing everything you can to fulfill it. I know somebody who's doing that. Autumn, could you stand up? Everybody, this is Autumn C, in case you don't know. Daughter of Pat and Stacy C. 22 years ago, July 26, 1998, These parents promised to raise this girl for Jesus Christ during a baptism ceremony with a crazy old pastor back at Old Fox River Church. And I know that because I was that crazy old pastor. And Mom and Dad, you did an incredible job, because this girl today, 22 years old and absolutely gorgeous. So gorgeous, she is hot. So hot, if you looked up hot in the dictionary, there'd just be a scorch mark where a picture had already burned through the page. So hot, I think I'm going to back up a couple of steps or I'm going to get a heat rash. But you know what the most beautiful thing of all about her is? This girl has a calling from God on her life to reach people for Jesus Christ, and she knows it. And because of that, you can see it all over her. Notice she's not all tatted up like Cardi B, because she realizes it's not about drawing attention to her. It's all about drawing attention to Him. She's not anorexic and cutting herself and puking up everything she eats because she doesn't look like Haley Baldwin. Because Autumn C knows that she's not Haley Baldwin. She knows she's supposed to look like Autumn C, which she does. So she looks absolutely perfect. She doesn't want to be a supermodel anyway. She wants to be a role model, because it's not about turning heads. It's about changing hearts. And notice she does not have a smartphone implanted in her hand like most cyborg millennials do today. And she's not desperate for love like a bachelorette. She doesn't collect boyfriends like Taylor Swift. She doesn't pretend to like hummus or American Vandal just so she can have a guy in her life, because she's already got a guy in her life. Jesus Christ, who loves her far more than any other guy ever could. Loves her so much He thought she was to die for on the cross for her sins. And because Jesus is her favorite guy, she doesn't have to worry about boyfriend upgrades either. And because right now God is calling her to take a CPA test in December, she's got a lot more important things to do anyway than go breadcrumbing with some guy. And unlike so many other young people in her generation, she doesn't hang out at Starbucks. She doesn't go to Cabo and get drunk and get wasted and act like a pig. You know where she goes? She goes to Uganda with a ministry called Love Africa, to a refugee camp, to share the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who don't know up from down when it comes to spiritual things. So while other young women are making fish faces on Snapchat and singing in their underwear on YouTube, she is influencing people's souls for eternity all over the world. Because she knows exactly who she is, she knows exactly what she is, and she knows exactly why she's here. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, in the book of remembrance, God has written this one. This one belongs to me. Autumn C, saved and called to a holy calling by God's own purpose and grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. The calling of God on her life determines absolutely everything about her life and in her life, just like it's supposed to. And don't you know, Christians, every single one of us has that exact same calling on our lives too. So the question is, how many Christians sitting in this church right now, this preacher included, listen to this message, understand the calling, and are trying to fulfill it just like she is? The second thing that gives us that real strength from God is a special calling. We go on this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that gives us that real strength from God that we need to reach out to our nation. Not just a special birth, not just a special calling, but third, special help. Exactly the same help that Samson gets here in verses 8 to 25. Starting first of all with his parents, because they were godly people. Notice Samson's parents, Manoah and Mrs. Manoah, never doubted one lick that God could give them that son that He promised to give them. They had faith. But verse 8, Manoah prays and asks the angel of the Lord to come back to him, because before, the angel of the Lord had only appeared to his wife. And for what reason? Literal Hebrew there, verses 8 through 12. Manoah wants to know what is going to happen to his son in the future. But notice verses 9 to 14, when the angel does come back to Manoah, he just tells him exactly the same stuff that he already told his wife before. And you know why? Because God does not tell parents what's going to happen to their kids in the future. God only tells parents what they're supposed to do with their kids right now. And Samson's parents did all of those things. They taught him exactly who he was. They taught him exactly the calling that God had placed on his life. And they did everything they could to raise him up to fulfill that calling. Samson's parents did not let him determine his own gender. Samson's parents did not buy his condoms and then let him decide when sex was right for him. They didn't let Samson skip church on Sunday morning because he had prom or a basketball tournament the night before. They didn't let Samson live in their basement and not have a job and play video games all day and watch porn all night. And verse 24, they gave him the name Samson. Shimson in Hebrew, like Shemesh, which means son. So the name Samson literally means little son or sonny. Gave him that name to constantly remind him he was supposed to be a light to his people. Just like every single one of us Christians is supposed to be a little Christ, what Christians really mean. A little son of righteousness, or sonny as well. So that we'll always be the light of the world to everybody around us. There's people listening to this sermon right now, you never really had any real parents at all, especially spiritually. But most of you did. And even though those parents weren't perfect, they were perfect for you because they helped you fulfill the calling of God in your life. We get special help from parents. We get special help from Jesus Christ. Verse 15, typical Middle Eastern hospitality. Manoah offers to grill a goat and make an angel food cake for the angel, so he'll kick back and stay a while. But verse 16, the angel says, no, you take all that stuff and you offer it as a sacrifice to God. So Manoah does. And verse 18, the angel of the Lord said his name was beyond understanding. In the Hebrew, literally wonderful. The exact same word that Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 uses to describe the Messiah, wonderful counselor. That should have been Manoah's first clue. And then verse 20, Mr. Wonderful does a wonderful thing. He rises up to heaven in the flame of the sacrifice. And Manoah freaks out and cries out, we're going to die because we've seen the Lord. Because Exodus chapter 33, verse 22, God said, nobody can see my face and live. But then Mrs. Manoah, verse 23, says, would you calm down? Why in the world would God tell us we're going to have a son and even tell us how we're supposed to raise him and then kill us? So they realized God was not there to condemn them. God was there to encourage them, to let them know this whole thing about having this baby and raising this boy was all of Jesus. It was all of Jesus Christ. Because folks, that angel of the Lord was Jesus Christ Himself in temporary human form before He was finally incarnated in a permanent physical human body when He was born in Bethlehem. You say, but Kevin, how could He do that? Folks, He's Jesus Christ the Lord, for crying out loud. He can do whatever He wants. Jesus appeared as the angel of the Lord to all kinds of people in the Old Testament. To Hagar, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Elijah. I could go on and on. And the reason the angel shows up here is to let Samson's parents know that he was going to help them with this boy. And that he was going to help Samson too. Just like Jesus helps us. Because He's always with us and never leaves us or forsakes us. To make our calling and election sure and to give us all the strength and the power and the energy that we need to fulfill that calling. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. We get special help from Jesus Christ. We get special help from the Holy Spirit. Over and over and over again in the story of Samson, you read that phrase, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. The Holy Spirit was there. Now, after Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit into all believers so it would be constantly be there all the time. John chapter 14, verse 17. But back here in the Old Testament, before that, the Holy Spirit would just come over certain people for a limited amount of time. Just like it did for Samson. Now, we don't know if the Holy Spirit caused Samson to murph like the Incredible Hulk or what. But the Holy Spirit was with it. And Christians, we've got to realize that exact same Holy Spirit is with us in an even more powerful way because He's in us and with us 24/7, 365. So we can fulfill our calling no matter how hairy the situation may be. Last month, Black Lives Matter and other anarchists trashed a police station and took over a 6-block section of Middle Seattle, Washington. And they called themselves CHOP. Area of the city was called Capitol Hill. They called themselves Capitol Hill Occupied Protest. claiming that they were an independent republic and totally independent of the United States. These people thought they had formed their own country. And the idiot mayor in Seattle said, it's nothing but a Summer of Love street festival. Until people started being murdered. And human body parts started showing up in plastic bags. So then last May the 27th, a black born-again Christian activist named Bevelyn Beatty said, the heck with this, jumped in her car, drove the chops, blasted through all the checkpoints, got all up in the grill of all the thugs who were in charge of the place, and said this, Black lives matter not just because they're black, but because black people are created in God's image and loved by God too. And what you're doing here is crazy because it's not going to fix anything. Because you don't have God, and without God there's no healing anything. So the answer is not demonstration, it's reconciliation through the blood of Jesus. But you're so blinded by the devil, you don't see that you're not only destroying your country, you're destroying yourselves too. Black Lives Matter can't save you. Black Lives Matter will send you to hell. Only Jesus can save you. Talk about going into the belly of the beast. And folks, that woman has more brass than a Chinese gong factory. And Christians, we need to take a lesson. For crying out loud, let's grow a spine and start fulfilling all calling too. Because we've got all the help in the world. Samson had all the help in the world too. And because of that, he got a really good start. And was even voted most likely to succeed at Zora Consolidated High School. But most importantly, verses 24 and 25, the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. Which meant he started fulfilling his calling and giving the Philistines hell. So the question is, how many Christians listen to this sermon right now have the Spirit of God stirring you to do something, to fulfill your calling and deliver your people? And I know there's somebody thinking, yeah, Kevin, but Samson had the gift of strength. And I'm not strong enough to whip my way out of a wet paper sack. And the only thing I can tell you is join the club. Because I have never been that strong myself either. Back in Little League Baseball, you heard of the designated hitter? I was the designated sitter because I stunk and never got to play. Back in sixth grade when they had those national fitness tests, 600-yard run, they timed me with a calendar. And I could only do 9 sit-ups before I almost died. And when the PE coach saw that I couldn't even do 1 chin-up, he laughed and said, good God, Garner, we got to get you out on that football field. So in high school, I was on the football team and started working out. But in spite of all the running and all the weightlifting, I could still only bench press 150 pounds, which is peanuts. And as far as football goes, I couldn't play dead. And in high school PE class, I still got picked last for every team. Girls even got picked in front of me in PE. You talk about embarrassing. And the only girl I ever impressed, one day, study hall, my junior year, Cindy Smith, the most gorgeous girl at Watsika Community High School, homecoming queen every year, told me I had beautiful eyes. And nothing, because that girl wouldn't have gone out to me if I held a gun to her head. I wasn't just a 98-pound weakling, I was a 198-pound weakling. And I know exactly what it's like to be picked on and rejected and made fun of because you're weak. And even to this day, after 23 years of running and Nordic track and rowing machines, I'm still about as strong as a wet noodle. All the while I was growing up, my dad would tell me and my two brothers, when you can take a sledgehammer and grab it by the end of the handle and hold it out with just one arm, then you'll know that you're a man. Folks, I'm 57 years old. I still can't do that. You talk about pathetic. But July 21st, 1984, I prayed to receive Christ and got saved. And Jesus Christ came into my heart and gave me the power of the Holy Spirit and all kinds of gifts and talents and abilities that are powerful for the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And in 1990, he called me to go to seminary and put me in full-time ministry. And ever since then, I have found out exactly what real power and real strength really is. Because over the years, God has used me to bring buku people to saving faith in Jesus Christ all over the world. Got this letter last week from a woman in Salem, Oregon. Dear Pastor Garner, a friend in Lake Stevens, Washington told me that your sermons were available on live stream. And last Good Friday, you did a sermon about washing your hands with a salvation message. So I sent it to my son's phone. He's 41 years old and has been a coke addict and a radical for many years. Absolutely hostile to anything Christian or religious. So bad I can't even talk to him about it anymore. But his dad and I have never stopped praying for him. And during this whole lockdown and George Floyd time, he's gotten even more radical into Black Lives Matter and protests, and even did some smash and grabs and throwing things at the police in Portland. But I'm writing to tell you that my son, for whatever reason, did listen to that sermon. And for the first time in his life, he got serious about the Lord and told us he prayed to receive Christ. And 3 weeks now, he stopped all the protesting. He's gone to church with us 3 Sundays in a row and has made an appointment to go to a rehab center to finally get clean. For the first time in 24 years, my son is sober, but even greater, he's saved. Just want to let you know your sermon touched his heart, and all thanks to your church for their live stream ministry, because it's made all the difference in the world for our family. I have no idea. No idea who that guy is. 2,000 years miles away, I will probably never meet him. And he's probably physically strong enough to whip me like a rented mule if he wanted to. I don't have the power to change anything about anybody, but God does. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, not mine, but His, without even meeting this guy, without even talking to him face to face or meeting him personally, I was still able to change his mind and his heart and the place where he's going to spend eternity. People, that's power. When we are weak, that's when we are strong, because that's when the power of God might be manifested through us. Christians, you have so much incredibly more power and strength than you could ever imagine to turn people from the power of darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Because the power doesn't come from you, it comes from Him. Not America strong or Boston strong or Houston strong, but God strong. The only real kind of strong that really matters at all. The only question is, how many of us Christians are going to use it? And good gravy believers, what is it going to take to get us to start? Our nation right now is under attack. The scariest, the most dangerous attack that's ever been put against our country and its entire history. Because it goes to the very core, the very foundation of what this nation is. And we are under attack by people who don't have a clue or a care about our God, about our history, or about the calling of God on our nation. And even worse, there are millions and millions of people who are lost and going to hell. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Because right now, the Spirit of God who is in you is stirring you, just like the Spirit would stir Samson way back then. Right now, the Spirit of God is stirring you to do something. He's showing you something, revealing something to you, telling you something to do, calling you to do something. Part of the call that He has on your life, calling you to do something, to get people delivered through Jesus Christ and to bring this nation back to its senses and back to the Lord. What is He calling you to do right now? That one specific thing that you start with. Maybe it's something in your own family, in your own home. Maybe it's something in the school that you go to or the place that you work. What is He specifically calling you to do right now in His strength? And the question is, now that we know, are we going to do it? You've got all the help in the world. You have far more power and strength than Samson could have ever dreamed of or ever imagined. The future of this nation and the souls of so many people are depending on your response. How many Christians in this room right now, heads bowed, eyes closed, are willing to stand up and be God strong in these last days when it's needed the most? You know what? Why not you? Why not now? Why not here? Let's pray. Lord, You've given us so much strength and power, that incomparably great power for those of us who believe. And Lord, we live our lives so many days as Christians, just feeling so dead and so helpless and so overwhelmed. There's nothing we can do. Lord, there's all kinds of things we can do. And we know, Lord, that people's souls are more important than the fate of a nation. But Lord, You've called us to both. And I pray, Lord, as we become God stronger in these weeks to come as we go through this series, Lord. You've been showing us the opportunities we have to get people saved. Lord, to bring this nation back to you before you come again. Lord, most importantly, that people would come to know you, that people would see you in our lives, see us living out that calling. And Lord, so many of us, you have not called us to a world stage. You've called us local stages, where we work, where we live, where we go to school. I pray, Lord, you just prove us faithful. Help us to know that strength that you've given us and put it to use, Lord, by your direction. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.